What's up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Game Cast. I believe we're on episode 22, I think.
We're on episode 2.
That works. That works. And since we're on episode 2, just to let you guys know, if you're wondering what game is about, considering that our topics have moved and shifted throughout the episodes, game is about the word game. So G as in game, anime, manga and movies, and etc. Now, etc. falls under everything entertainment and basically whatever we want to talk about. I know that, you know, that bumps into other areas of, you know, expertise. However, they all kind of fit. I mean, if you look at entertainment, I mean, the stuff that we're going to talk about tonight and stuff that we talked about previous all falls under that, you know, umbrella of stuff that we would like to talk about.
Yeah.
From a Black perspective.
Sometimes. And it's our show. We can talk about whatever we want.
Exactly. I mean, look at Joe Budden show. It started off as, or the Joe Budden cast. It started off as a hip hop based cast. And now they rarely talk about hip hop. For the most part, they talk about everyday life. And it's great. So, yeah, we give you the major stuff. And then we go into what we want to talk about. And
right.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about today. But first, I want to get into a little bit of gaming news. This week has been interesting for a bunch of reasons. I'm not going to stay on it too long, but just to say that Ubisoft revealed a lot of stuff. Far Cry 6 is coming early next year. I want to say February. Yeah, February. It looked cool. It looked cool. There were some issues with some of the cast not being Latinx, and they're playing these characters. I can't necessarily speak on it for myself. Mm-hmm. However, as a Black person, I can totally understand. We have a hard time getting roles in general. And then when there's a role that's perfect for us, we don't get it either. That's not to go to say anything bad about the people who are playing it or playing each, you know, these characters. They're great actors in what they do. But, you know, there's a thing. There's a thing there. So it's everyone's excited to see it. But then at the same time, it's like, you know, and the fact that everyone's at home and almost have, you know, nothing to do, we get to see these things a little bit easier and share it a little bit more than we would, you know, regularly. But beyond that, Assassin's Creed Valhalla got a release date. That's going to be coming to the Xbox One and the PS4 this November. I want to say November 21st. I believe so. And what's cool about this, similar to Watch Dogs, which Watch Dogs Legion also got a release date coming this October, is that if you purchase the game on the current consoles, you automatically get the next-gen versions for free. And what I didn't know, and this is actually really cool, when I heard that, because I know like Microsoft announced that a while back for Cyberpunk, was that I figured you would have to buy a digital version, because that's usually how this works. You get digital versions, we can kind of like download them to the next console, and there you go. In this case, though, at least with Ubisoft's games, you don't have to buy the digital version, which is great, because I like being able to actually own the things I buy. And so you can buy the physical copy for the PS4 or the Xbox One and put that disc into the next console, and it will download the digital version. You just have to leave it in while you play, and boom, you have the other version.
That's great.
That's freaking awesome. Because obviously, like, we have our established consoles and we have games and stuff that we don't want to leave behind, and these games are essentially coming out, or at least seemingly coming out, before the next-gen consoles. So if you want to play, if you're an early adapter like myself, you're going to want to play as soon as you can. But then having to go and repurchase the game a few months later, yeah, it's not fun.
No,
so the fact that you get to do that is really, really cool. But yeah, Watch Dogs Legion is coming out on October 29th. Assassin's Creed Valhalla is coming out on November 17th. And then Far Cry 6 is going to be next February, February 18th. Am I right? Yes, February 18th.
I can't think that far in advance. 2021 is like a vague, misty, finished line, like oasis. What do they call that thing?
Oasis.
Mirage, that
There you
thing.
go, Mirage.
I don't know if are we gonna make it?
I hope so. I there's some games I want to play. No, I'm actually happy that Far Cry 6 is coming out next year, because there's way too many games coming out at the close of the year, which is typically the case. But for instance, Assassin's Creed and Cyberpunk is coming out in the same month. We already got, actually tomorrow, just breaking the fourth wall because we're recording on Thursday, tomorrow, Ghost of Tsushima and Paper Mario the Origami King both drop on the same day. So it's like, it's like, ah, like, you know, and then the fact that the prices are going to be going up, it's like, yeah, give me some space. Give me some time.
Yeah.
Because none of these games are short. They're way too damn long. So
I want to play Ghost of Tsushima, though. It looks so good.
It looks dope. It does. And from what I've heard, it's pretty good. There's a lot of things that it does open world-wise that are similar to other games that I kind of, like, don't like. But for the most part, like, being in a samurai, you know, like, film, it seems kind of cool. And though it's the history is muddled. And, you know, there's way too much imperialism. I'm not going to get into that right now. But as far as a gameplay stance, it does look really cool. And so I definitely want to try that. That comes out tomorrow on the 17th. If you're wondering where I'm getting a lot of this news, I'm actually getting it from my own site, UnitedFrontGaming.com. Go there and check out some of the news that we put up recently. Ubisoft had a conference where they announced a bunch of games and stuff like that. So that's where we got this information and, you know, posted on the site, including some videos. So go check that out. Outside of gaming, this week, well, actually, no, before we get into that, you had something you wanted to talk about.
I watched some anime this week. I'm proud of myself. Not only did I start watching Hunter x Hunter for no apparent reason, nice. I guess just because I needed something funny, like, you know, something to laugh at, because it is really silly and cute. You know,
I love that show.
It's just super cute. And it's like, oh, you know, so I did that because, yeah, that made me laugh. But I also watched Japan Sinks 2020, which was just released recently. I mean, it was released this year. I feel like it was just released like within the last month. And it's basically this kind of apocalyptic show about what would happen if major earthquakes hit Japan. And the entire island of Japan sank. And it's hard to watch.
Like, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was already in a mood yesterday, so I was already experiencing some other emotional things. And then I decided to watch this. It's 10 episodes, so I do recommend anybody just, you know, it's not going to take you long. They're, you know, 30-minute episodes or whatnot, 10 episodes. So you can knock it out in some hours if you've got free time. And it's like a bunch of different apocalyptic shows. You know, it's got a little bit of, I'm not going to say it's Walking Dead. There's no Walking Dead people. Okay. Like, but the whole idea of like, if a natural disaster occurs and, you know, you kind of just make family with the people who are around you. And then right. So this whole idea of like a lot of different shows like this are have that whole keep moving type thing. You're never safe in one place.
Right.
And I think what I enjoyed about this show was like, this was somewhere, it's like, you couldn't just hunker down somewhere. This is an earthquake. And you can't really make up any expectations when you're talking about something like that. If there's a tornado going around, okay, it's like, okay, stay in the cellar, right? If somebody's right. dropping nuclear warheads and you have a bunker, you know, stay in the bunker for the next 2 years or seven or however long the fallout will be. Like, but this is not one of those things. This is not like you can't just stay in the same place. It's that the earth is literally crumbling at your feet and you've got to move. So if you put yourself in the position of these people who just wanted to, you know, who just thought it was a normal day. And then next thing you know, everything is falling into it's like that movie, This is the End. You know?
Okay.
And I would love This is the End. But it's not a comedy by any means. There's no comedy here. This is just like, aw, damn it. So okay. I finished it. I watched it. It was very touching. It was political, it was cultural. Like, there were a lot of references, and honestly, just some stuff I wasn't expecting to see. And I enjoyed it. Like, one of the main characters, I wanted to smack the crap out of her several times, but, you know, I guess a lot of people feel that way about teenage girls sometimes, just being dumb and not useful. But like, it's just very, you know, that feeling where it's like something bad happens and then you hunker down with people and you kind of start to love the people around you, and then like one by one they get picked off. Like, that's Walking Dead, you know?
Essentially, so yeah.
Yeah. I recommend it. I do, because there's a lot of like, there's just struggle and there's just a lot of like love and love lost. And so, I mean, I recommend it. The animation is different. Like, people will be like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And yeah, I recommend it. And you might want a tissue box.
What is this? Yeah. What were you watching it on?
I watched it on Netflix.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. It's on Netflix. I mean, Netflix is like releasing anime every day. It's kind of like, where were you guys when I was 17? Like, this was my dream back then. We dreamt about this. This was like, even when I was working at that store, the anime store, and I'm sitting here like, man, I wish there was a way we could get anime mainstream. I wish there was a way we could get anime on TV and not have to worry about translation and just, you know, subbed. Damn, Netflix. How come I don't have a job?
I think Netflix was a dream at that point.
It sure was.
But no, that's dope, though. I mean, I still feel a way about them not bringing Studio Ghibli stuff over here.
I'm so mad.
But HBO has it, so I'm gonna let them go a little bit, just a little.
Yeah.
Bit. I see why there was licensing issues, but still.
Still.
I still feel a way. So yeah, I think I'll check. I'll put that in my queue.
Yeah, definitely check. I mean, you can knock it out in a day, in less than a day. Like, they're like, yeah, 25-minute episodes, 10 episodes. So you can knock it out. And yeah, at least watch the first two episodes. Like, yeah, get that out of your system. Just be like, wow, okay.
It's like watching streaming things, like, you know, movies and shows have been, it's been kind of, the activity has been cathartic.
Yeah.
Because even if you're watching something negative, it's away from where you are. Like,
yeah,
I'm not in Japan right now. So it's like, right. Oh, this would be interesting. Even though it's bad, it's like, this is not Corona. This is not, you know, a bunch of Karens walking around. Like, this is,
right.
It's something different. And
it is.
Like, for instance, I watched this past weekend, when I was getting my hair twisted, I was watching Night of the Living Dead, the original, the black and white one.
Wow.
And I'm a big fan of George Romero. And I still have a copy of it, like a DVD in like shrink wrap and everything.
Damn.
So, yeah, I was watching it. And like, it rang, a lot of stuff still rang true. A lot of things, like the little nerdy things that I know about the film. It was cool to see again. It was cool to have a black lead at that point, and it wasn't like exploitation, you know. Even though those films had their place, and there's a reason why we have them, it was nice that it wasn't that. And, you know, being in a zombie apocalypse and thinking about like what would you do when these things happen, and still having some racial undertones, there's a lot of good there in that film. And so with that, it took my mind away from like current events. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I felt that way with this one too, just because like it, I mean, I know that this is like a theme in Japan, but how Japanese people are strong and will always rise, you know, will always be able to come back from a horrible thing. You know, that's something that at least I was taught, like something that I learned, especially when I was in school, like in taking classes and stuff. But it does talk about, I mean, like, this is a horrible thing that happens in Japan. It doesn't happen like to the whole world yet. The surrounding islands also were affected. But it's like, wow, what if this really did happen to just this country because the tectonic plates decided they wanted to go apeshit one day. And you have like a lot of this cultural thing that does ring true in Japan, where it's like, oh, you know, there are people who are like purists and nationalists and who are like, no, only people of full Japanese blood can get on this boat. And it's like, whoa, whoa, You know, Japan's an Asian melting pot. You know, there's a lot of people there from different countries, especially different Asian countries. And there was something that was talked about as a real topic in this show about how racism or like not racism, but ethnicity meant something, and you would be treated differently if some sort of disaster happened. It's like, dag, because I'm six shades darker, somebody's going to treat me a certain way.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And it's good. It makes for great stuff. Why zombie films are like one of my favorite.
Right.
Outside of like just me liking zombie as a monster, because I think there's a lot of psychological things that happen there. It's the idea that we get to see ourselves. The whole idea that we're eating ourselves is like I don't want to get started, but it's there's a lot there. There's a lot there, and it's cool. I wish the right people watched and understood. But it's still there are I have hope that certain people will watch it and kind of like, you know what, they were already on the fence, and it's like, you know what, I kind of understand now. I understand a little bit more about the things that we talk about. And before we transition into our current topic, which is similar, I just want to say the video that you're watching right now is me playing a new game from Ubisoft called Hyperspace. It's currently in beta, and it's a battle royale game. And I am playing like ass. I just have to let you know that it's left cheek and right cheek all at the same time. And to be fair, I don't think I'm doing an article on it, and so I'm not going to say too much, but I don't think it's necessarily just my skill. I'm actually really good at first person shooters, and I do really well in games like Apex Legends. I just cannot. I don't know. There's something there. But I just wanted you to know, I'm admitting that I'm playing poorly. So when you're watching this, you're like, if you're, you know, not just listening, but you're actually watching, and you're like, dang, Kitty is having a rough time, just know that it's in beta. There's some things that need to be balanced and tweaked. And I'm trash right now. So, yeah. I have no shame. I don't. Come play me in Apex. You know what I'm saying?
Come at me, bro. You'll win.
You know what I'm saying? Like let's do that. All right. Anywho, so yeah, one of the things we want to talk about. Well, this entire show, and we might go a little bit over our time, but this entire show is going to be have a similar theme in that race relations. That's not going to be the name of the cast, but I'm just saying race relations, because there's a lot of people who look like us, who are saying very foolish things, who have platforms, who are saying foolish things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from, you know, Terry Crews to Chance the Rapper to even Nick Cannon, there's been a lot of silly stuff being said. Yeah. We're not going to focus on everyone. We're going to focus on Terry Crews, because he was the for black people, at least, he was cooning a little bit. And I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, because Terry Crews, before all this happened, before he started saying foolish things, I was a big fan of Terry Crews. I like the fact that he was funny. He can act. I like the fact that he could draw. He's an illustrator. Before he played football, and when that didn't work out, he became an illustrator, and he actually worked at in the courthouse doing the profiles and stuff. Awesome artist, and you know the way he, you know, how he is with his family and stuff like that. There's things that I liked. And then he started talking, and, you know, when Gabriel Union's going through the things that she's going through, and he just needed to shut up, and he wouldn't. Yeah. And it makes me feel like I didn't want to have the take that he's saying the things that he's saying just to keep a check. I was thinking he actually feels how he feels, but it seems like he just has to speak on stuff, even when he shouldn't. And so I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. But then, just recently, he was talking about Black Lives Matter, and he was talking about how, I'm not going to say everything he said, but he was basically like, we should be worried that Black Lives Matter doesn't turn into Black Lives, what is it, Black Lives Better or something like that?
He said Black Lives Better,
And I wanted to throat punch him. So then he had an interview with Dom, CNN, and, you know, they tried to explain to him why people have a problem with it, because he was like, you know, he got all these, I don't want anybody to get death threats, okay, that's ridiculous, but he was saying that he was getting all this heat for the stuff that he was talking about, and so I wanted to hear him. I wanted to, you know, maybe he needed to clarify it, because Twitter is a horrible place to have a debate. It is. It's just bad. So I wanted him to clarify, you know, go ahead and get it out, what were you trying to say. And what he landed on infuriated me, because he was talking about black on black crime, which is not a thing. So I'm
not
just
a thing.
Gonna, so
not
I'm
a
just,
thing.
It's not. So I'm just going to say crime, dealing with black people. And the same thing, and granted, with a few other people, you know, they you know, emphasized, or they felt the same way as him, and they, you know, they kind of spoke out about it, a couple other celebrities. And yeah, I'm just gonna say no. No, for a bunch of reasons. One of the reasons is that whenever Terry Crews talks about this stuff, he speaks about it as if we're in a perfect place.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, here's an example. You know how when, oh, just recently I was talking about the Far Cry, and mm-hmm. I was saying that the actors aren't Latinx, and mm-hmm. how people feel away about that. And yeah. the first thing people say is, you know, it's the best actor. The best actor wins. You know, people, it's the whole point of acting is to be someone else. What you miss is that we weren't allowed to do these things.
Exactly.
And now that we are allowed, we get passed over.
Yeah.
At one point, and I'll pull it back to black, because I'm a black person. This goes back to blackface, where we weren't allowed on screen. It was white
right.
people painting their faces.
Yeah.
And now that we are allowed to be on, you know, on screen, we are still getting passed up of roles that should, it just should go to us. There's a
right.
you want a black person to act in a movie. We have a ton of them that are great, like
mm-hmm.
won awards and everything. Put them in, even if you're typecasting the same guy, put them in the film. It's better
mm-hmm.
than, you know, a person who isn't black trying to be black and painting their skin black. And for all the people out there who might be like, that happened a long time ago. No, like not a few years ago, even there were, you know, everything from like a white person trying to be, you know, darker skin to play a historical person, or
mm-hmm.
a light skinned person playing a really dark skinned person. It's like,
yeah.
we have dark skinned people, right?
Yeah.
So let's fast forward back to Terry Crews. He's saying things like, you know, the crime and the crime and the crime, and we only typically care about when police kill us. So let's break this down, and stop me if you want to interject, please. But there are several organizations across the United States that try their best to deter crime in our neighborhoods. For years,
mm-hmm.
there's been walks, protests, there's been
mm-hmm.
sit-ins with gangs, there's been movies, music, there's been all sorts of things, benefits, programs, like a ton of stuff that we've done as black people, and it only takes 10 minutes of Google to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for a fact, because someone challenged me on it on Facebook, and I was like, you know what? Because they were saying, and this was legitimate, they were like, you know what, the media doesn't pick up on it, and so sometimes we miss it. So I was like, cool, give me a minute.
Right.
Within 10 minutes, I had found multiple organizations in Chicago, in Detroit, in New York, freaking in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
where you know, where I am, the L.A., like, these are because these are the places that people pull up, right? When they're like, you know, the black people are just killing themselves like crazy. These are the places that they say. And so I pulled up mad, and I was like, I could do this all day. And I just labeled.
All day.
I was like, boom, boom, boom. You still think we don't care about ourselves? Boom, 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 boom. And what people are missing, so that's one piece. We actively do this. Black Lives Matter, though, and I'm not talking about the organization. I just mean the movement currently.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between the crime that a criminal commits, who's eventually persecuted and goes to trial and, you know, can be locked up if he's found guilty or she's found
mm-hmm.
guilty.
Mm-hmm.
It's different when a cop can do it on video, can
yeah.
smile, and because he knows that nothing will happen to him.
Thank you.
And And don't get it twisted, because you know, because people love to say, well, look, the whole world is fighting for you right now, and you know, obviously we've learned our lesson, et cetera, et cetera. No, that's not the case. Terry Crews hasn't learned anything. The only reason people are protesting, the only people reason that people are protesting is because there's no room for debate. He's
Right.
he was on George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and killed him. And there's nothing, there's no like he had a gun or he was running or he was it was dark or he they were fighting or they, none of that. All of it's gone. All you have is a slow murder. That's why people are moving, because they all the everybody who was on the fence, who was thinking about like, you know, maybe there's something going on, but I just don't understand. Or, you know, the cops are good guys. I know they are. So there's maybe it's just a few bad apples. When you see that, there's nothing for you to stand on. So for this fool to come up and say, well, you don't care about black people when other black people kill them. You're not realizing that the only reason we got here is because there's no debate. That's it. That's it. The idea that we don't matter to other people is still a thing. It took however many bodies for people to recognize that. We've known we've mattered, and we've been fighting to keep ourselves alive between the criminal element that's in our neighborhoods, as well as the police, as well as rogue white people. Like, we have been fighting for this for a long time. Okay, so we know about this. And what you're saying is incredibly foolish. Now, for the other part that I have is that when Terry Crews or whoever, because Gilly said some foolish stuff about this years ago, whenever they talk about this subject, they always forget to bring up why there is crime in our neighborhoods. Do you know how the gang started in our neighborhoods? How the Bloods and the Crips and all these other gangs started? It was they started out of protection. They wanted to protect themselves. They wanted to not be picked off. Similar to like the Black Panthers, but Black Panthers were peaceful. They went about it by lawful. And obviously things have changed over time. I'm not saying that the Crips are a lawful gang or anything like that. What I'm saying is that things started out of a result of something. When you are, because we look, you know, we look at slavery, we look at the Jim Crow things, we look at redlining, we look at all those things that push people to a certain location or to a certain social economical status. And what happens when you have a bunch of poor people in one area? Well, we can look at any group of people, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. There's more crime. When you have schools that are you know, not accredited for reading, when you have low access to jobs, or the jobs are far away, but there's no transportation. When you have people moving voting stations out of neighborhoods, you know, because they're saying f voter fraud, but in actuality, they just don't want black people to vote. When you do things that make it seem hopeless, and I don't have a means, or to me, I don't have any options. And then on top of that, you are heavily policing us. What do you think will happen? What do you think will happen? Like, and I'm not saying that the people who do commit crimes aren't guilty. I'm not saying that there aren't ways out of you know, the situations that we're in. But when I go to certain these certain places and I see how people are living, how you know, gentrification, how people come in and you know, they build up in these places, they raise the rent, they raise everything, they push everybody out if you're poor, and then you get you so now we have all these people who have no hope, no jobs or whatever, are grouped in a spot. What's going to happen? Eventually, someone's going to be like, you know what? I'm tired of being hungry. I'm gonna go rob so and so. And again, that's not how all crimes happen, but if you look at statistically, more crimes happen in neighborhoods where there's poor people, you know, where there's heck, even heavy policing. There's been stats or you know, they've done studies to show about how when you treat people a certain way for years, how their mindset changes. Like, oh, you see me as a criminal, so I guess I'm gonna be a criminal. You see me as a savage, so I'm going to act this way. There's things that, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to preach, but there are things that happen that put people in the predicament to do things that other people might frown upon. Yeah. And the people who are talking, and granted, I know because Terry Crews was, you know, didn't have a lot of money always, but a lot of the people who are talking aren't the people who are struggling, who have struggled for a long time, who have, you know, a single parent household or, you know, the single parent and then they just had a kid. So now what do you do?
Right.
And it doesn't even have to be like, we, you know, you live in the ghetto or whatever the case may be. I remember when I, when Avery, my oldest was first born, my job was outsourced to someone overseas. And this was within the week of her being born. So I had a month to find another job and I couldn't. I did everything that I thought I could. I actually got a license to sell insurance. Like, I took the test and everything. Like, I was grinding, as well as my own, like, personal business and things of that nature, to try to get money to be able to afford, like, insurance. We didn't have any insurance anymore. It was just bad after just having a baby. And I kid you not, there was the thought of doing something illegal. I knew, you know, this is a joke, but like, black people, we know people who do stuff. So like,
you know,
I could have gone a certain way. I didn't.
Right.
But the idea crossed my mind, and it wasn't like I'm like a tough guy or I was, you know, there's a history of this. And so that obviously I went back here. No, it's just the fact that I had never been in that state before. I had never been in a place where I have no income coming in. I have to support a wife and child, and no one is hiring me because of my degree or, you know, whatever, I'm too qualified. And then the places that would hire me, it's like, you know, McDonald's will take you, but I can't feed them off of McDonald's.
No.
I have student loans getting ready to drop. My wife has student loans getting ready to drop. And there's just too much money needed. And then there's also what I owe. The insurance was only going to take up but so much of, you know, the birth and everything, because I'm no longer with a job. And so it was at a point where I was like, I was standing in line for, I think it's Medicaid or Medicare. I can't remember which one it is, but I was trying to set something up because my oldest had a heart murmur and she had to go see a cardiologist and all this other stuff. Again, no money. And yeah, my thoughts were like, all right, I'm going to have to do some things that I don't want to do. Because all I can think about is I can't afford whatever.
Right.
And it didn't happen, thankfully. But I say all this to say, people are very short-sighted when they talk about us.
Yeah.
They've never experienced what we've experienced, or they've forgotten about it. They're so high and mighty in terms of their view that they miss out on the fact that the only reason you are able to do so is because you were blessed in some fashion. If you have both parents still, you are blessed. If you lucked out and got a great job that turned into a career, you are blessed. Terry Crews is a freaking famous person.
Exactly.
You are blessed. You're not in the same position as some of these people. But you talk down on them. It makes no sense. And then the third and last thing before I just hand you the mic is the audacity to try to curb a movement in its height. Black Lives Matter is trending all over the planet. And for once in like forever, I have never even heard of something like this, where countries outside of, like, countries, all 50 states are all protesting, and they're still protesting. They're still protesting, mind you. Yeah. At the same time, about the same subject, and the subject is us. And you have the audacity to try to curb the conversation to some bullshit. Like, what is wrong with you? That has nothing. Black, like, crime in our neighborhoods has nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. The reason why it's separate is because we're focusing on one issue at the time, an issue which is more important, because this issue actually attributes to the crime in our neighborhoods. The things that are done to us that are pushing us in you know, this way and that, you know, stop and frisk in New York, you know, like the idea was like, you know, we got all these arrests because we were, you know, stopping and frisking and all this other stuff. No, the stats are skewed. What you did was you alienated a group of people. This is why whenever we're stopped, there's an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we fit the description, there's an attitude. Because yep. I know what people say. Because the other thing he's, you know, some of these other celebrities were talking about how, like, it's our fault because we resisted or we didn't comply or we didn't whatever. And it's like, what is with the whataboutisms?
Exactly.
What is this thing where when we get something going, something moving in a positive direction, that you have to bring up other stuff that we're not focused on? It's like the meme where the person is trying to put out a fire at someone's house and the other people are like, well, what about these houses? And he's like, the fireman's like, well, they're not on fire. And he's like, well, I mean, but these houses are important. I mean, my house is just as important as that house. And the fireman's like, but it's not on fire right now. It's not on fire. And I get it.
Right.
I get it. Those shootings over the 4th of July weekend that a lot of people died. A lot of children died. And I'm not angry necessarily at the parents, at the family, at the people who are like, this stuff has to stop. But I need you to recognize that efforts have been placed to get those things to stop.
Yeah.
In your city, people are doing things to prevent these things from happening. And they need help. They need support. And it only takes 10 minutes of Googling. And you will see some of them take donations. They want volunteers. Mm-hmm. There's already people active and trying to prevent what's happening. But the only way we're going to fix this type of stuff is if we fix the systemic issues that are causing us to be in this predicament. Here's
exactly.
Here's an example, and I'm giving you the mic. Richmond has a group called Risk that handles multiple things. And they all come back to helping poor people. And one of the things they look into is job placement. There's a lot of people that are going out of work. They can't find work anywhere, and they have no means of getting to work. And
right.
So what Rick's did was like, we're gonna get up with VCU because they have a big, you know, medical campus, and they also have MCV, and they are, you know, it's basically a hospital for people who don't know, and they are getting people into the healthcare field. We were able to work with them to offer free training, and that training is a direct pipeline to getting a job. Like,
right.
You go through the training, you get a job, period. You just have to, you know, obviously you have to qualify. They also worked on affordable housing. And so people who are in places where, you know, gentrification happened and like you can no longer afford where you live, or you just are paying too much for where you stay. You know, you don't make enough, but you also want to be safe and you're paying way too much for where you want to, you know, where you want to live. They were offering houses. They built houses and was able to give people houses for less than what, you know, the average person pays. And so they can live there. Okay. So that's two things. They also, was working with the city of Richmond and the surrounding counties in terms of providing transportation, because certain buses, because if you don't know, Virginia is still very much segregated, and certain buses won't go to certain areas. And so people who are poor, who don't have a car, can't get to the areas that have the most jobs. So we were working with the city of Richmond to try to get buses to go to those places so people can get on the bus, go to work, and then come home. All right, so that's three things. The fourth thing was schooling. A lot of our schools were falling, were being unaccredited. Reading scores are really low and all this other stuff. And a lot of it had to do with, which is the fifth thing, trauma. I'm going to get to that in a sec. So we were working with different people, professionals who work with people who are poor, people who are going through different things, people who don't speak English even, and have a program that helps them. What's interesting with the school systems here was that they're so stuck on the standards of learning, SOLs, that they're very rigid in their teaching, and the teachers are handcuffed. But what this does is this program allows them to teach in a way that they can still stick to the standards of learning, but teach in a way that everyone learns, even the people who don't speak English. All right, so that's the fourth thing. The fifth thing was trauma. Having psychiatrists and stuff like that on call or in the schools to help people who are suffering from trauma. Like, I don't know, if a kid saw his father get shot or his father was arrested by the police or they're not eating food. You know what I mean? Like, the only time they eat is during school lunch. All this trauma that keeps people from succeeding in school, we're going to help them. So that's five things. Guess what those five things add up to? Hope.
Exactly.
Options. You know what? Maybe I don't sell drugs because now I have a means of getting a job. I have job training. Even though I didn't finish school, I can still get the training that I need. I can get a really good, well-paying job. I can get a house, an affordable house. I can get better schooling for my kids. And I could have someone there to help me with trauma that I deal with from being in the places that I live. These five things, and that's not even the only things that they do, but these are the five things that help people. Right. And what it does, it's what people don't see is that because we're thinking like obvious, like obviously giving people a job helps them. But no, you're breaking things, systemic things. The reason why people aren't being able to get jobs is because of schooling. The things that they the training that they need is not being offered or not being are not available in their neighborhoods. The reason being is that certain people don't want them to improve. Hey, let's move all the jobs over here. Logical place being Richmond City. Hey, guess what? Let's move all the buses over here so it doesn't come to those neighborhoods. Let's mess up their schools. Let's, you know what I mean? Like they don't, the schools don't get proper equipment. You know, obviously it's the tax code and all this other stuff, but that's BS because if they're part of your county or state, they should get the things that they need in order to succeed. So all these things are contributing to crime. And then when we talk about the crime, we just point fingers at us, at the black people.
Right.
Instead of helping, providing solutions, you talk. You fail. You are failing us, Terry Crews. Exactly.
Yep.
Especially with your resources, your platform, you can uplift because I bet you there's not many people that know about Risk, right? But over 1,000 people showed up to talk to basically, you know, city hall, council, whatever. Like we had people from school districts and all this other stuff come and basically hear our demands. These are things that we want fixed and we are showing you ways of fixing them that's affordable, that works. Help us, right? And there was only like one news crew there that covered it. So yeah, there's not a lot of people who know, but you have a platform.
Right.
You could be showing people this stuff. You could be talking about it, getting people move. You could be, you know, help with funding even. Like, there's so much more you could do. And I don't know what he does personally, but all I've been shown is a lot of crap.
Yeah, so, I'm shown a lot of crap.
I'm done. I'm getting off my I'm gonna hand you the mic now.
that was needed. That was needed. It not only was it therapeutic, it was accurate. And yeah, I mean, Terry Crews, people like Terry Crews need to be held to task because you are supposed to be uplifting your community. You are a black man. You are a dark skinned black man. In fact, if people didn't know who you were and you were walking down the street, you would be characterized as threatening.
Right.
And so it's very disappointing for someone of his stature to do exactly what he has done constantly, which he has now done constantly. It was one thing when it was like, oh, maybe that was just a slip up. But no, it's not, because now we're starting to look at your record. Now we're starting to look at the things that you've said. We're starting to look at the types of films that you continue to be in. And I may have said this before, but sometimes there is this phrase, or not phrase, but this term called white proximity. And when you are more proximate to whiteness and to the successes or the positivity or the generosity or whatever that brings, you tend to engage in certain behaviors that are detrimental to other black people who are not in close proximity to whiteness as you are. And a good example of that would be like a prominent black person who works in a high powered situation where they're surrounded by white people. And you know, it's not a situation where you are a token black person, but you basically are treated in a manner in which you get to experience the majority of the things that these other wealthy or, you know, high powered other white people are experiencing. And you get that kind of life. And it can all be messed up if you associate it, or in your mind, you believe that all of what you've worked for, what you have, could be lost by associating or assisting other Black people or with Black causes, because then to those white people, you look like, honestly, an antigen in a way, you know, like they are T cells and you are a virus at that point. Because Facts. Then it's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, you were cool. You were in our group. But you're associating with those other Black people. I mean, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to bring them into our thing? And I'm saying, I'm not even making these words up. Think of the owner of the Clippers when he was talking to V. Stiviano.
Right.
He was saying to her, I don't like you hanging out with other Black people. He's like, I don't like them around. There's too many. I'm using his actual words. Okay. And that's writers, authors, a lot of people they term this white proximity. So for people of color who are white proximate, they have a not necessarily just a wall, but a defense mechanism in to keep their successes intact for themselves. And that is completely detrimental to other Black people. And it's exactly what Terry Crews has done. He has broken apart a Black woman's argument that she was treated unfairly by her white superiors. And he then comes and says, well, I didn't experience anything like that, which then makes it seem as though her statement about her experience is false, because he basically was like, you know, you're a Black person and I'm a Black person. We're kind of the only two Black people in this white space. And you're calling racism and I'm saying I didn't see that. You are single-handedly, as the other Black person, diminishing her story.
Exactly.
And that's not right. And so it was like, when he said that, and everybody's like, oh, wait a minute, this is a problem. Wait, why, you know, hey. And then people called him on it and said, do you understand why this is problematic? And then he apologized and said, I didn't realize that what I did was wrong. I didn't actually realize that what I said would then diminish your experience and then basically invalidate what you had said. And now that I realize that, I apologize and I'm going to work towards lifting you up and other people who are in that situation. Correct? That's what he said. Those right. are the things he said. And then now we have him telling us, the words were, I will die on this hill. He believes to his death what he is spewing about Black Lives Matter being Black Lives Better. He truly does believe that Black people are trying to move into a Black power movement. And he's not about that. He's not about that. And you know what's funny? First of all, none of us are trying to do that. Okay. Nobody's trying to move into this Black power movement. All right. That's not what Black Lives Matter is about. It's never been about that. And any of these groups out there that have any clout, any of these groups out there that people are like, hey, we need to support these groups of color, none of them are screaming power. Okay. No, Asians aren't running around here saying, yay, Asian power. Okay. Native Americans aren't running around here saying any Native American group that we are listening to is not sitting out saying, hey, Native American power. Okay. There's no Latinx group that's saying, hey, Latin power. You know, it doesn't exist. And so that's just a false narrative anyway, in one respect. But the other thing is, even if that were to happen, you know, Terry Crews, you've been traded. You are no longer, the Black delegation has completely traded you. And you're so worthless to us that we have traded you and we're not even asking for a trade back. We're gifting you. You're not even being gifted. You're not even being sent off with anything. We are saying, hey, walk out of the gate. The gate is going to close behind you. Okay. This is like the prison, you know, in Walking Dead, like, Godspeed, sir. Godspeed.
Yeah.
Get out. Like, keep it moving. So anyway, you know, just basically saying that here we are as Black people, Black Lives Matter movement is across the globe and the entire world is saying, hey, we have to pay attention to this and we need to destroy these social constructs that are destroying the lives daily of Black people and people of color. Okay. And that's what we're saying. We need to hold other Black people who have power to task. If they continue to do things that are anti our movement, but anti our success. For example, people like Ben Carson, you know, it's like, hey guy, hey dude, Ben Carson, you know, you might need to stop. Luckily a lot of people don't listen to him because he sounds like he's asleep all the time. And so he talks so slow that typically people have stopped listening before he even starts speaking. So at least we're lucky in that matter. But you know, just like what you were saying about coming from poverty, we know that Ben Carson came from poverty. This is a kid who tried to stab another kid. You know, this is a kid who came from poverty and tried to inflict violence upon another person. Like, he was living that life as a young person. And he turned around and he was like he felt like he was saved that day that his jackknife didn't pop out or whatever that story was. And he didn't kill the other kid or something like that. Whatever it was. But my point is, like, you've come from that background. You had this in your life, or at least you said you did. So why is it so hard for you as a person who is in a place of power to recognize that there are other people going through exactly what you went through, and that those individuals need help? Like, Ben Carson has no problem talking about how a white man helped his family, like helped his mom, like because she had a job. You know, he has no problem saying that. And I'm like, okay, and that's your story and that's your truth. Nobody is pouncing on you for that. But the point is that you received help from an outside source to get to where you got in life. And you endured racism as you were coming up as the only Black doctor, you know, in your field. And so you experienced that. So then why did you turn around and then not assist or not recognize that other Black people are experiencing the exact same thing that you experienced? And need that assistance too, because of the social construct that keeps us down. Like, I just get very confused as to what, like, just to piggyback up on what you said, how there are famous Black people who are sitting here looking down and being like, you know, as if we're all lepers or something.
They're trash. They're trash. They're complete trash. And the reason, like, especially when they do this thing where they're like, well, I made it. Like, you, do you know you're like the 1.1%? Like,
right.
Do you recognize that this idea that, like, some people made it out, that all of a sudden everything is okay? The fact that the number is so low, the fact that what your story is such a huge thing, the fact that we won't see some of these things anymore. Like for instance, Obama becoming president. I don't think we're going to get another Black president for a while. And it's not because none of us are qualified. I'm not voting for Kanye. Throw that shit away. The audacity to say the things that you say when you, in the same sentence, recognize that you needed help from someone outside of your immediate circle. How does that sit with you? How do you, outside of money, Outside of like the people who are backing you now need you to say the things that you're saying.
Right.
Outside of that, it doesn't make any sense for you to feel the way or to claim things are better when you yourself are admitting that you only got to this point because of. Despite the fact that you're qualified, despite the fact that you worked hard, someone had to help you get over the artificial barriers that are placed there. Why do you think they are gone now? Just because you made it.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make any sense. It literally negates the fact that you just said somebody helped you. So that means that if nobody else is helping these other people, And the thing is, we wouldn't need help if the equity was there. And that is what Black Lives Matter is about, creating equity where the inequities exist and have existed for hundreds of years. This country was never built to be a home and to be a loving, caring, nurturing place for Black people. This was a land that was owned and groomed by Native Americans, and it was taken from them. They were raped and pillaged. This country, the foundation of this country, was not built for the success of everyone, because all men were not created equal, because Black people weren't even considered men. Black men were not considered actual men. We were property. Black people were property. Natives were regulated to small areas and said, here, have these things. Be happy with your little special land. Here, we'll give you 38.6 square miles of this, and then you can have 102 square miles of this park, and you can have your sacred monument and X, Y, and Z, and you can have this, that, and the other. We're just taking everything else. This country was never intended to have anyone who was not white be equal. And because of that, and this is why it's so painful for us, and this is why the irritation is in our voice, the structure of this company wasn't there for us to be equal. And therefore, we're trying to point that out. We're trying to point out, do you understand why this law that has existed for 120 years, it makes it harder for me to get the same thing that you got? As a white person, nobody says that you're not working hard. People are like, oh, I worked hard to get what I got. And I'm not saying you didn't work hard. But the starting line for you was at the 0 yard line. The starting line for me was in a different field. That's just the way it is. I didn't even get, if we're talking about starting at the same starting line for a certain career, I'm not starting at the same starting line because of the social construct that bind me from having the same success as you. And that's just truth. And I know a lot of people hate to hear it because then that brings up the word white privilege, but they hate to hear that. And they don't want to accept it because they don't feel like it means anything to them. They think it's fake. They're like, white privilege doesn't exist. And that's when you go into another thing of like white fragility. But when we say those things about privilege, we're like, look, if your success was never in jeopardy because of your race, if your success was, or if your life was never endangered by a police officer because of your race, if where you live was never a problem because of your race, if you were not stopped from getting a house in a nice neighborhood because of your race, those mean that you were privileged. That's what white privilege is. And there are more examples that we don't even have to go through. We don't have time to go through, but those are the things. And so for Black people to then stand up and be against that, that hurts us. But speaking of white privilege, that kind of moves us into our next area of irritation, which is the Lady A controversy.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. if you ever wanted to talk about white privilege, like, this is it. This. Three people in a band who decided to name themselves a name that they knew, that they were told, even in their formation. You know, that talks about pre-Civil War slave time. You do know that. We like it. We like this name. And it talks about the houses that we like. Okay, right. Because the three of you are interior decorators and you want your band name to reflect the houses that you guys used to like. It doesn't matter. I don't care if we don't believe it or not. It doesn't even matter. But the point is, you guys named yourself Lady Antebellum. And now that this Black Lives Matter movement has taken over the globe, everybody's talking about it. People are losing money. Contracts are being ripped up. Ads are being dropped. If you're a racist, you're getting canceled. All kinds of shit is happening. And you guys finally realize, after being told multiple times that the name of your band was racist, you finally decided to drop the name. You realize that it is antagonistic. You realize that the name represents a time in history that was not fair and equal to people of color in this country. And so you decide to shorten your name to Lady A because, you know, the A no longer stands for Antebellum. Stupid do you think I am? And that's why nobody likes you, because you can't, that is literally just like, that's like the Redskins saying, we're just gonna go by skins,
right? We're gonna keep the colors on our uniform, but we're just not gonna say it. That's what we're gonna do.
We're gonna keep rando Indian, not even gonna say Native American, rando Indian dude. Okay, how racist can we be? Like, we're going to keep the rando Indian dude with the feather in his head and call it the skins.
Right.
Don't piss on my leg and say it's raining. Like, yeah. Sorry. But we're not about...
That's not even the worst, though. Someone else already was using Lady A, and I don't care about their merchandise saying Lady A for a long
No,
time. I
we
don't
don't
care
care.
because of the idea of trademark, and how someone has to go at someone in terms of legally go towards someone in terms of trademark. There's reasons why someone wouldn't go after a bigger act for something that may or may not infringe on their identity. So
Right.
throw that out of the window as a defense. But not only did you find out that someone else had Lady A, who happens to be a black person, you spoke to them about it. They didn't want to give you the name because that's all they've ever been. They weren't changing their name. They
Thank you.
were they had, they've always been this. And when things didn't work out in your favor, i.e., they didn't bend to your will, you sued them for the right to use the name. Now, this isn't like a lawsuit in terms of money. This is just a way of preventing her from stopping you from using the Lady A as your
Exactly.
name. And the grounds is on the fact that you had some merchandise that said Lady A. You know, how trash do you have to be to recognize that you had to change your name because it was racist, and in doing so brought trauma, or brought drama to a person who has this name, and to not just change it to something else because you have the power to do so and you're
Exactly.
recognized, and it would be media headlines. Everybody would know who you were by changing your name and making an announcement, and i.e., it wouldn't be a big deal for you. You decide to sue the black person to take their name. How, Sway? Like,
Halfway. How are you not a racist? You tell
how can you think people of color are going to like anything you do when
that.
the first chance you get after trying to make a change is crap all over it?
Thank you.
Like, what?
I'm gonna go. You remember how people was buying like Nikes and burning them? Well, they were stupid because Nike got the money. Like you guys bought the Nikes and then you burned them. That's
Right.
dumb. I'm gonna go to a thrift store and find some Lady A shirts for 5 cents. Okay. That way the money's not going to Lady A, it's going to a Goodwill or something. And then I'm gonna burn those. Okay, like I'm just saying, this is Lady Antebellum is dumb because and you know, we don't have to call them Lady Antebellum since they've decided to change their name to Lady A. We can call them the band formerly known as A Lady Antebellum. We can just call them that. So if you want to call them Tabufkala, we can call them Tabufkala if you want. Okay. The band formerly known as Lady Antebellum. Because you can't call them Lady Antebellum anymore because they dropped the name. But we are not calling them Lady A because that's Anita White's name. Okay.
Yes.
She's been blues singers in Seattle for 30 years. That's her name. She started out with that name when she was singing karaoke, disco, and whatever in the 80s. All right. Let her have her shit. Let her have her stuff. Okay. Don't sit there and bribe her, bring her to the table and say, we just want to share the name because, you know, we recognize where we were wrong, and therefore we want to share the name with you. In fact, we'll even make sure that search engine optimization puts you and your website at the top of the list. We
Trash.
want to do that for you. We would love to even go on tour together to show that in solidarity, we know that we did something wrong. So we would love to pain you, take you out of your lovely busy schedule, and go on our tour. We would love to parade you around as our Negro.
Essentially, like, you're also
Yeah.
saying that you're not creative enough to make up another name. Like,
Right.
you're not, you could just be Lady or something. I don't know if someone else has that name, but you could do other things. LA, like, I don't know, or just
They could do anything.
you could do a fan contest and be like, hey,
Yeah.
pick us a new name or
They
something.
could do
Make
anything.
it a big deal and get your fans involved. Like, you could do anything but be trash, and you want to be trash. This
They
is
want to
why
be fresh.
we can't rock with you. This is why
Nope.
we can't. It's a slap in
We
the
can't
face,
trust you.
and it also means that,
It's an
yeah, you're not an ally. You're faking it. The moment it was something that wasn't beneficial to you, the
Yep.
moment it wasn't, you showed your true colors. It didn't even take a year.
Nope. It took 5 days. Like, for real, it took days.
Trash.
This is why we this is why as Black people, and not even just Black people, but Black ally, we don't like to call people allies anymore. We're calling them accomplices now, because basically that's what we need. We need accomplices, because allyship is exactly what this is. This is some fake ass allyship that we have been seeing, where people are always like, oh yeah, we stand with you, we this, that, and the other, and then you do nothing. You have literally said that you stand with the Black community, and then as soon as you got the opportunity to show that you truly did care about Black people, you shat on a Black woman stamp. And that just goes to prove that you always cared about yourself. You never cared about Black people. You don't care about Black people. You never will care about Black people. You don't care about Black artists. You don't care about underground artists. Shit, this could be a person who wasn't Black and you wouldn't care about them either, but definitely they're Black and you really can't stand them. This is not okay. The fact that she asked, I don't care that she asked for $10 million. They said, oh, she asked, you know, oh no, now that we were asked for $10 million, we don't, you know, she said, no, look, I'm donating $5 million of that to all of the stuff that she does. Like she even has like a meeting that she does, it's not Black Lives Matter, but it's a social injustice awareness type thing group that she started to get the conversation going. And this is a woman who's about is about promoting Black lives and making, you know, doing better for our community. This is a woman who is out here doing exactly what a woman with a platform is supposed to be doing. And she is telling, because she never believed them, and she's telling this group, she's telling them and their managers and their this, that, and the other, and saying, look, you guys have an opportunity here. You have an opportunity here to show the world, well, if you really mean what you're about. And she said she always knew what she knew 100% that they were never, ever, ever intending on making her shine. That she knew that they were doing this for optics. She knew it was a song and dance. And so she said she tested them. She's like, okay, yeah, I'll do it for 10 million. And then they put out a statement. They went to court. And they're like, oh no, we're not doing this. And it's just so interesting. It is so interesting that in a moment where everyone has the opportunity to prove, it's not about just showing and, you know, standing there and say, I stand with the Black community. It is about proving that you care. It is about proving that you have an intent. And this is why the inequity exists between white people and people of color. The inequity exists because we have said this from Jump Street, that there is this idea that white people will have to lose something for us to be equal. And the majority of people who are standing in the way of equity for people of color are the ones who are afraid to lose. They're afraid to lose anything of their own. And we're like, well, then you don't stand for us. The fact that if Native Americans were sitting there saying, hey, we want our land back, this is historical, right? If they were literally saying, hey, you know what? The Powhatan Nation used to be all over here in Virginia. We want this back. We've been trying, we've been fighting, and now we are standing in front of a court and they are saying, you know what? We need to start giving this land back to these people. Whether or not they get to actually settle the land in their own ways, it's one thing, but the financials need to start going to these people. They are the true owners. Can you imagine the people who would be standing up saying, no, I can't lose my shit. No. The same thing that was happening in South Africa with all of the people, the white settlers, the Dutch and everybody who were like, no, 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 no. We can't give Black people like land back. Then I'm going to lose all my shit. It wasn't yours to begin with. And so we're at that stage of making the balance about the whether it's reparation. I mean, this is a type of reparation. But the idea here is that, look, there is an inequity here that was not caused by people of color. It wasn't caused by us. And you have the chance to make it right. Now is your opportunity to make it right. You have the funds. You have the fan base. Lady A's fan base will follow them whether they change their name or not. So the fact that they chose to shit on a Black woman in this time, in a time where we are screaming Black Lives Matter from the roof, in a time where laws are about to be changed, you have city councils who are actually trying to go about ways to defund the police, which means, you know, reorganizing the funds to make it a state that doesn't need to be policed so much, that there are actually things that are really changing in our country to make Black lives better, that these three individuals have chosen to shit all over a Black woman, proves some people just can't get by their white privilege. Bam.
I mean, and you know what's super trash about trash bag, this trash bag band, is that they could have bowed out. They could have been like, you know what, we tried to talk about it, we didn't come to a decision, because it wasn't like she was testing them and demanding money, in the sense that if they didn't take the offer, or you know, if they tried to counter or whatever, like it was one of those things where like they could just leave it. You know what? We'll do a different name. We don't want to pay $10 million. And I bet you the optics would have been better. What it was wasn't the fact that they were losing something, is that they wanted to keep what they have and get more. Yeah. And get more. Because it's not like they couldn't go back and change their name. No one said you had to pay the $10 million.
Nope.
You could have just changed the name. It wasn't that difficult. That's what makes it so grimy, is that you're trying to make it be like, oh, she was trying to, not blackmail, but like, you know, strong arm us for a certain amount of money, when you pretty much had the cards to say, you know what, we decline this, and we're going to go elsewhere. We're going to try something different. And nothing would have been, because no one would have, I mean, unless she signed an NDA or whatever, but no one would have said anything. No one would have been like, oh, you know, blah, 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 you didn't, you know, you should have paid her and all this other stuff. Like, nah, you know what? We didn't realize it was her name. We talked to her about it, you know, see if we could work something out. It didn't work out, so we're just going to change the name. And you know what? Nobody would have been calling you trash right now. Nobody would have been angry, because that's understandable. It's understandable. It happens all the time when people try to, this is why companies make patents and copyright and all this other stuff before they actually invent or make the thing, because they want the name. The name sounds good. And so we put this out there so that we have a claim to it. So once we finally make the product, we already got the trademarks and all that good stuff. Because it's difficult in naming. Even if something isn't named the exact same, it just sounds like something else, you could be sued for that. So, you know, because there's like the whole, you know, issue with, and this is like gaming stuff, but like where Elder Scrolls, there's a game series called Elder Scrolls, and there was a new game series called Scrolls. They both have the word Scrolls in them. One was an RPG, one was like, I think, a card playing game or whatever. And Bethesda, their lawyers sued them. And mind you, nobody would be confused about these two games. I promise you. But it was so close to the name. What Bethesda's lawyers were thinking was, hey, if we let this one slide, someone else might get a name that's even closer to ours. And so on and so forth. So they stopped it. They put, you know what I mean? And they went through the bad press and everything. But they were like, let's stop it now. That's how important it is to protect your name, and how dirty it can get. So it's understandable that, like, hey, you didn't know. I can believe you didn't know.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You might not be into the blues. I'm not mad at you. The point, though, is that after you found out, you acted out. You just fell out all on the floor like a big baby.
Yeah.
And tried to use your stardom, your fandom, your whatever, to push back on someone who already had something. Like, it's such bad optics that people are reading this, you know, this suit or whatever, and they're looking at you like, what is wrong with you? Even the people who are, like, on the low races are like, nah, fam, this is not the right time. You wait till later to do this. Not when the entire U.S. is screaming. Like, people are painting Black Lives Matters in the streets. Monuments are coming down. This is not the time. This is not,
it's not the time. And then the thing is, it's like, you know what, if you wanted to go up against somebody who was on the level of Beyonce, you know, if you wanted to sit there and challenge somebody big, you know, then so you would have had a real fight, like an actual fight. But they're going after someone who doesn't have the power. She's small. A federal court will sit there and say, hey, they filed a federal trademark in 2011. They have the trademark. It's theirs. There's nothing we can do as a court because they have it. But the simple fact, like, I mean, they have the one in or Kentucky trademark, whatever. But it's that they already did that. But for them to then be like, oh, we're filing this so you can't even use the name. If you sell merch, we can sue you. If you do this, we can sue you. Everything. She doesn't have the capacity to fight them. She's right. Small. She's one person. The simple fact that they, who are, I mean, I'm going to say they're a conglomerate. They're big. Everybody in country knows who they are to the point where they felt like they had to change their name. How long has the Redskins gone on? How long has people told Snyder for years that he needed to change the name? He had to change it this time. All of the sponsors dropped them. You know, the Redskins lost their trademark years ago. They lost their trademark in like 2016 and were still going by the Redskins. Snyder said, I will not change the name. I don't give a damn. No how, no way, no this. And guess what? FedEx dropped him. And who was it? Nike? I don't know. FedEx and somebody else. The biggest people, the money. It's always the money. And the fact that those advertisers dropped, he's like, you know, it's hard enough to keep FedEx Field open. Well, I'm going to need to change this name. And so now, okay, so I'm not going to call them Redskins no more because that's not what they are anymore. Now we're calling them the Washington team. Like we used to call them on that show, The Game, because The Game knew that it was racist and they never called them there, you know? So we called them the Washington team, and that's what we're going to say from now on. But my point is, like, they are going after a little person, and you had, just like you said, bam, it's not the time. You want to be down low racist? You want to be low-key racist? Be low-key racist. This is not low-key racism. This is blatant racism. This is white privilege at its finest, and you guys are so effing up your own ass you can't see. It's not right. It's not okay. So now we think you're trash and you're going to go out in the garbage like the other people. Like, you and Terry Crews are now on the same lonely bus. Hope nobody sneezes on you.
Yeah.
just saying. Just.
Sorry, that caught me off guard. yeah, like, just trash. And, like, you know, lastly, you know, since we're talking about people who are faking the funk, the NFL... I'm not going to spend too much time on you. All of you are trash. And yeah. This idea of playing the Black National Anthem before the National Anthem at football, during the games or whatever. Nah. No.
No. No. No. Y'all wasn't doing that shit. Look, the Black National Anthem should have been the National Anthem a long ass time ago. Okay. Y'all shot Dr. King. Okay. And it could have not. I'm not even saying like it would have made up for anything, but I'm like, you know what? Hey, guys. Hey. Maybe we should change the song. Don't take our shit, all right, and then play it and be like, oh, yeah, we stand with the Black community because we're going to play this song before the national anthem, which apparently caused so many problems. Go, you know
and
what?
It's mad racist. The song is racist. Like,
the song is racist. Exactly.
But, like, so you're going to play a Black song before you play a racist song. You're mm-hmm. going to not make any changes, not make any donations, not give Cap back his job. You're not going to, there was an apology, but not really. You didn't say his name. You're not going to truly acknowledge that you were wrong. You're not going to do any of the things or any of the work. All you're going to do is play a song. And that is like the least, the easiest, the smallest thing you could possibly do and expect everybody to come back and watch the NFL. I have no desire. The football is my favorite sport. I have no desire to watch the NFL. I have no desire to play Madden. I have no desire to do anything football related until you guys get it together. And I don't mean this... give us some crumbs crap and so we'll be happy, so we'll turn a blind eye to how you operate. The fact that you guys blacklisted him so he couldn't get a job, like,
thank you.
You did some trash stuff when all he was doing was trying to stand up and speak up about police brutality, the big thing that's happening right now. Like, oh, you're afraid now. Like what he was saying is ringing in your ears, and you're hearing all the money that you're going to be losing. And so now you're freaking out. What can we do to get the black people back? What can we do to get the white people who stand with the black people back? You have to do a lot more than what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because there has to be real change, real growth. And I see none of that. One of the people, the guy who created Reddit, I believe, stepped down. He married Serena.
Alex Ohanian, he was on the board of Reddit. Yeah.
There you go. Stepped down and was like, please give my spot to a black person. Now, before you lose your mind, again, this is not done so that we can be better than someone else, that we can get a spot over other people. What it is doing is recognizing the fact that there's someone who could be in his spot, but the only reason they're not in his spot is because they are black. Not because they're not talented, smart, they didn't have the opportunities, and they don't know the people. They do. Even for him to even make that claim to bring someone in, he knows. He knows that someone could have this job.
Yeah.
He knows it. For him to step down and then not only do that, but donate millions of dollars, he knows that someone could fill this seat. It's not something where he's like, I'm just going to pick someone random walking down the street and give him this crazy job. No, he knows that there's room and space for us and that there's pushback. And the same thing with the NFL in terms of all the NFL, there's so many things wrong. Like the NFL is one of the in terms of money being grossed, the biggest sport on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, there's franchises that have more money than some sports completely, like all their teams.
Yeah.
It's bananas. And how we are, black people, are like the dominant force for the most part on the field, and how little we get paid, even though they're making all this money. And then on top of that, when we complain, not about not being paid, because we should be, but complain about, you know, us dying and our family members dying in the streets by the people who are supposed to protect and serve.
Mm-hmm.
You say things like, all we want to do is play football. All you want to do is, you know, if anybody ever, you know, doesn't stand for the national anthem, which even wasn't even a thing. This was something
it was never
that was
a thing.
This was something that was negotiated through the military, similarly with baseball, to promote nationalism. It wasn't something that was a thing. That stuff was played before the players even came out. This was a deal that was made years ago where the players now come out and are actually out while these things are happening. That wasn't always the case. You are saying all these things and basically telling me to dance. As long as I dance and make you money, cool. Mm-hmm. As soon as I rock the boat or just to you know, rock the boat or like, you know, churn the water or whatever, just a little bit, I'm thrown under the bus, I'm this and that. And you can't tell me how you really feel about me and expect me to be cool with it. Like you can't. I understand people have jobs and they want to keep those jobs. You know what? Good for you. I'm not one of those people. I'm not in that position. You're not going to basically call me, you know, a show monkey, and I'm supposed to just take it because you get me crumbs. You give me crumbs of what you actually make. Like, seriously, not enough money in the world for me to shuck and drive for these people. It's nothing. Not enough. So yeah, playing the national anthem is whack. And anybody clapping and applauding that, you're also whack. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
You're whack.
You won't see me. You will not see me. I am not turning on no games. I literally am not doing it. And I don't like it when people take the Black National Anthem and do stupidity like that. That's not for me, because that's one of my favorite songs. Period. And I'm not, don't do that to me. I'm like, y'all don't deserve it. That's why we can't have anything nice.
Always taking stuff.
Always. Why? Why are you always going to take our stuff? This is not fair. It's literally not fair. It's literally not fair.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm totally not a fan.
Mm-mm. Until Colin Kaepernick owns his own team Like, and again, I don't care about the NFL anymore. Like, honestly, I stopped caring about the NFL when I and realized that I was never going to be a head athletic trainer of any team because, you know, that's what I wanted at one point in life. And then I was like, you know what? Yeah, I mean, I'm not on the sidelines. Redskins never hired me. And the Washington team never hired me. And yeah. So NFL's trash.
Yeah, I don't even like watch the Super Bowl for the commercial, you know, the commercials anymore. I catch them on YouTube. I have no desire. It is not, there's not been a football game in my house for a while now.
Yeah.
And I am cool with that. I have not missed it at all. And like I said, I played football. I enjoyed football. It's one of the biggest, you know, some of the greatest experiences I've had have been, has to do with football. My aunt taking me to see my first NFL game, to see the New York Giants, and it was amazing. And it became another one of my favorite teams and all this other stuff, all these memories. Nope. Put it in a bag, yeah. Throw it away. I don't care.
Nope.
Because my life and the lives of the people who look like me matter way more than mm-hmm. the sport. I'm sorry.
I'm with you. I agree.
So, yeah, all the people who follow me, I told you this episode would be a little spicy. It wasn't as crazy as our Black Lives Matters episode. No F's to give, but it was definitely up there. Thanks for sticking with us. I ranted a little bit, my fault, but I felt the way. So,
right.
Plus,
me too.
You know, it's our show, so whatever.
Exactly.
But yeah, feel free to subscribe, hit the notification bell so you are up on all the shows and content that we have going up. And, you know, let us know what you think. Just be, you know, aware that I'm going to delete or block anyone who says something dumb.
Thanks.
And by that, I mean racist. You can totally disagree with me and we can have a conversation, but there's a thin line. And you know what it is. I'm pretty sure you're smart enough to know. So just don't do that and we'll be fine. I will leave all of our following information at the bottom of, you know, in the descriptions. So you know where to follow and where to look for more content, whether it be our site, United Front Gaming, or our YouTube page, or on Facebook, Twitter, wherever. We're around. But yeah, thanks. Like I said, thanks for checking us out and listening. Next week, we're going to have a really serious podcast.
Yes.
And I would like you guys to tune in because I think it's something that needs to be said, needs to be done, and it needs to be felt. And so please check out that episode. Not to say that all the other episodes aren't great. They are. Go listen. But this next episode is going to be serious. I would like for you to hear. I think it would be beneficial and I would even say therapeutic. So, you know, definitely stick around for that.
Please. Yeah. Next week, we really, really want to bring in a bunch of topics that actually all have to do with the same thing. And just to give you guys a little bit of a preview, you know, everybody's kind of been suffering the same for the last 6 months. And this has been really hard for everybody. But with being quarantined, dealing with an unseen, you know, enemy, coronavirus, dealing with being shut in and people actually experiencing a lot of different emotions like depression and anxiety, people being out of work due to coronavirus. So people being unemployed, people worrying about getting kicked out of their homes, X, Y, and Z. And then also being overemployed, actually having to do more work now that others can't do work and just, you know, because of this coronavirus situation. Or being a medical worker and working in hospitals and being overworked and not being able to see your family for weeks at a time. So everything that's gone on in the last several months, social injustice, racism, things coming out into play, they all have to do with each other. And it's all been a traumatic experience. So next week, we really do want to talk about how each aspect of this traumatic experience for the last several months comes together and plays into our mental wellness. I just feel it's extremely important to talk about, especially for the amount of people that we've lost, not only to disease, but actually to mental illness in regards to what's actually been happening out there in the world. There are many people who have taken their own lives that are famous that have been dealing with some things that were exacerbated just by the last several months. And so I think it's a great idea to sit down and talk about it and to talk about how each aspect really does play into this problem, and how there are ways to rectify the situation, or at least acknowledge the situation, and ways to reach out, get help, and just to speak out, you know, especially for people who are alone. So yeah, wanted to give you that little preview, and we definitely hope you guys like tonight's show. We hope that you guys stick with us for next week. As always, thank you to the people on the front lines. Please wear a mask. Hashtag don't be a dick. Hashtag yes. Justice for Breonna Taylor. You know, hashtag Black Lives Matter. Hashtag don't be a racist. Hashtag hey y'all. Hashtag. Anyway, you get the point. Thanks for sticking with us this whole time. And we hope to see you next week. Have a great one. Watch some anime. Take a breath. Breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth. Have a good night, everyone. Goodbye.